Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
It's Monday, December the 16th, and we're fresh from the love-in, or should I say the de-love-in, that was this morning's Go Digital conference at Broadcasting House. Anyone hoping for the announcement of a date for digital switchover will have been disappointed by Ed Vaize's long-awaited speech, because the Minister for Culture, Communications and Creative Industries said this.
And I've always said that it is the radio listener that will lead that transition. We set ourselves benchmarks. Listening should be at 50%. Coverage needs to be built out towards FM equivalents. We needed to shift more cars to digital. So we're not there yet, and so now is not the time to switch over. But it is emphatically the time for the next phase of our plans to ensure that radio has a strong digital future.
Future. That's Ed Vaize speaking this morning in a speech which I thought left a little bit of a sense of anticlimax, although it was well trailed beforehand. On the whole, though, I thought it was a pretty positive event. Speakers from the broadcasters, BBC and Commercial, made their usual positive noises, and they were joined on stage by manufacturers of both radio sets and improved digital chips, representatives of car manufacturers, and companies like Halfords and QuickFit, who want to join the dash to digital. So, to explore reactions to the conference, I'm joined here in the elegant surroundings of SNK Studios by radio futurologist James Cridland.
Greetings, hello.
The CEO of Digital Radio UK, Ford Ennals.
Good afternoon.
And on the line from one of his stations, Eagle 96.4, the CEO of UKRD, William Rogers.
Hello there.
Hello, everybody. Let's start with a quick response from all our guests to how are you feeling having gone through 2 hours of the Go Digital conference, and where have we got to now, James?
Well, firstly, if I ever hear "I Need Your Love One More Time," I may have to go and kill somebody. That was the music that was played virtually every single minute. But no, I think it was good news for the audience. We won't be turning off FM before we're ready, and I think that is great news for everybody that tunes into the radio. Broadcast radio is still the future, which is really good to hear. More investment in DAB is also welcome, and I'm a big fan of the tick box as well, so that you know what radios to buy in the future. I'm also a very big fan of Simon Mayo for reasons that we'll doubtless come on to later.
We'll move in that direction later on, as you say. James, William Rogers, I'm imagining you might feel a degree of satisfaction from the fact that there's been no announcement of a date for digital switchover.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with the minister's speech generally. And I think what it highlights is the need to put the listener at the heart of this entire strategy. And I have to say, I don't think that's been the case for many, many years. So I welcome the minister's announcement. I'm delighted that he's made it clear that there is not an in-principle decision been taken. And to quote him in an interview separately, where he stated that emphatically not going to switch off FM, which is also very positive news for those smaller commercial radio operators who now have an opportunity to engage in some sensible planning without the backdrop of an enforced premature switchover.
Ford Ennals, I know you will put a nice gloss on this, and you were very confident on stage this morning, but there must be a part of you that's a little bit disappointed that we haven't got as far as you had hoped we would get a few years ago.
Well, you know, like James and William, I absolutely welcome what the minister had to say, and I was very pleased with, you know, some of the key elements, particularly the area of investment in local coverage, which we'll come back to. But it was a political speech, so you know, he is a politician. Politicians are paid to listen to people, and to try and please people. And I think there was something here for everyone this morning. Certainly, I know, speaking on behalf of the BBC, Global, Bauer, they were absolutely delighted with what the minister had to say, because for them, one of the issues that's been hanging around for a long time is who's going to fund the local DAB rollout to FM equivalents? Is everyone going to agree? And when's it going to happen? We now have a very clear time frame for that, a timetable, a transmitter plan, and it's fully funded. So that will push ahead. And I think, you know, behind your question is I do think it does spell out and underline the digital future. No one is building both national and local to FM equivalents if they don't believe the future is digital.
William, do you think that this year with your campaign and the work that you've done with the other, if I may call them, the smaller operators, that actually you've had a role to play in slowing down the dash for digital?
I think that's unquestionably been the case. I think it's important to make one point here, however, that whether it's an operator like UKRD or any of the other now 100-odd local radio stations who are supporting the position that we've taken, this is not about whether you are in favour of DAB or not, or in favour of digital radio or not. All of our radio stations, every single one of them, has a digital strategy. This is about whether you were in favour of a DAB switchover, an enforced premature DAB switchover, which was neither in the interests of the section of the industry we operate within, or indeed of the listener. And the critical thing about the speech this morning is that for the very first time for years, we've now got a sensible, common sense approach to this, where the listener themselves will be driving this change. And it allows us all, the entire industry, to start planning sensibly against a backdrop of appropriate investment and no gun to our head. And I think that's to be warmly welcomed. And I'm very proud of the part that not only UKRD has played in this, but UTV, Celador and the other 100-odd radio stations who have taken this challenge up very seriously and have been listened to. And I welcome that, because our views have been ignored by the industry for a very long time.
There was, of course, James, a strong argument from a lot of people that said actually the gun to the head is the only thing that will make this work.
There was, and I find it interesting to hear what UKRD are saying, because actually one of the things that they did during their campaign is they put up a website that slagged off the entire DAB platform, actively attempted to spread fear and uncertainty about a switchover that hadn't been announced and still hasn't been announced. I would quote from that DAB website, but as of this afternoon, it's been taken offline, which is amusing, I think. But it had, from memory, 38 different reasons why DAB was rubbish and why we shouldn't be having it, which was really sad in comparison to some of the really positive things that UTV and other broadcasters were ending up making.
So let's give William a chance to come back.
Yeah, I mean, look, we were involved in a campaign to do everything we could to stop an enforced premature early switch over to DAB. And just to correct James, it was actually 34 facts, James, and very specifically, it was 34 facts about DAB radio switchover. And the reason we've taken down the site is because it's no longer necessary, because the campaign message has clearly landed and the argument
has
been won.
But you're still going to get a switchover. A switchover will still happen. We don't know how that switchover is going to happen, but at some point in the future, we will turn off FM and we will put DAB on for the majority of stations.
Well, James, you obviously haven't been listening to what the Minister has said, because the Minister has made it very clear, and I'm quoting him here, that he's emphatically not going to switch off FM. And whilst there will be a shift to digital radio listening, as indeed there is for our own radio stations, what we're opposed to, and always have been opposed to, is a premature, enforced, early switchover to DAB. We're completely comfortable with a digital strategy, and there will inevitably be a growth in digital listening, as indeed there is for our own radio stations who have a multi-platform strategy. But to suggest that an early premature switchover, and James, I don't want to sort of bandy quotes, but you've tweeted yourself that you are against a DAB switchover. I think it was the 14th of November. So we're all accepting the fact that there is indeed an error of judgment made in forcing the pace on something like this in terms of switchover. It's switchover we have been opposed to, and to be fair, that is clearly now mainstream position.
Let's go to Ford Ennals.
There will be no early switchover.
William, if we may. Switchover, you know, you've been in favour of this. Are you now prepared to say, actually, we were pushing it a bit too hard?
Well, but look, by the way, I think it's great that the industry's all come together. I mean, UTV are running the DAB Digital Radio Christmas campaign, Williams launching digital-only stations on DAB. I think there is a DAB love in. And I think James is right. I think it's been ridiculous and fatuous that people within the radio industry have said that DAB's technology is not fit for purpose. It absolutely is. And what we needed was coverage build-out, which we now have. I think going forward, clearly the position of the major broadcasters who account for 95% of listening is unchanged. They've gotten what they wanted. They've got government investment in local DAB build-out. They absolutely do not want to sustain dual transmission costs. And they see the end state as them being on solely on one platform or another. They happen to believe it's on a digital platform. And the question is when that is. I think probably their game plan is now that it should happen, frankly, after an election, after the BBC licence fee, probably around 2020. And arguably, 7 years is a long, long time. Give everyone the opportunity to address the issues of small stations. I thought William and UTV ran an excellent campaign, I think, highlighted the issue. And I think DCMS had done, I think, an inadequate job of communicating with small stations about their future and about their options. Hopefully, we'll see a lot more work on that in the next 2 to 3 years, such that in 5 or 7 years, William, you'll feel a lot more confident about the options for the future.
In the conference this morning, Nick Higham said to Ed Vasey, so a lot of people say 2020. And there was a pause. And then Ed Vasey said, yes, a lot of people say 2020, which wasn't saying, I don't think that's right. Neither was it saying, yes, that's absolutely right. But I did get a feeling that that was sort of about the kind of consensus date.
I think, speaking for myself, and this is Ford, and talking with the broadcasters and DCMS and Ofcom, I think people feel, 2015, this is the first time government's come away from the 2015 deadline. They should have done some years ago. And I think William said many times that it wasn't achievable. It did require 50% listening in 2013. We're a long way short of that. But I do think sensibly, responsibly planning for a transition, let's say in 7 years, when we'll have sold 15 million more DAB radios, when we'll have sold 18 million more cars, there'll be plenty of time to have resolved the issue and the options for small stations. I think that's probably the right time frame. The minister was right today. We're just not ready today.
This is the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan. We're joined this week by James Cridland and William Rogers and Ford Ennals. One of the other things that was buried away, I thought, a little bit in the speech was the announcement of Digital 2. Now, what's going to be on this new national digital multiplex, in your view, Ford?
Well, I'm very interested in hear William and James, particularly James, because he's totally unfettered. He can say what he wants and always does. The broadcasters have been arguing and lobbying for this. As we know, Digital One is now full. We heard today about the Bauer confirmed that they're launching Kistery nationally. And we know they have other brands that they would like to launch. And I think, to Absolute Radio's credit, I think what we've seen is that this brand extension route and national brands is a very successful one, and actually works for advertisers and commercial radio as well. So I know that the number of the big groups want to launch new stations. And I tell you what, I know a number of people who are in media and, frankly, in television who are also looking at radio. Remember back to 2007, Channel 4. It's not Channel 4, but there are big media brands who are now seriously looking at launching new radio stations.
Are you excited about Digital 2, William?
Well, only in the sense that it will broaden choice, which is a good thing. It's a launching of another national platform on DAB in terms of digital radio development, which is a good thing as well. Clearly, we're not national radio operators, so we won't be joining the queue to take one of the spots on the D2 multiplex. But I wish it well, and I hope it broadens choice and allows commercial radio operators the chance to compete more effectively on a national scale with the BBC.
James, I don't know whether it was relevant, but Ed Vasey also hinted that there's going to be, I think he called it, a relaxation in music formats. Now, what that's tended to mean in the past, I have to say, is that more stations play the same records, not that more stations are opened that play different ones. Are we going to find that with D2?
But there is also, of course, a relaxation anyway on formats in terms of DAB anyway. So those relaxations are specifically there for FM, because it is a very, you can only fit a very small amount of stations on there. No, I mean, I thought that the D2 announcement was very interesting, combined with the talk about the new tick mark, because what wasn't said today, probably for a very good reason to not confuse things, is that that tick mark includes DAB Plus, not the current version of DAB we have, but a new version of DAB which is in use across Europe. Now, what that potentially means is that we won't see another 7 or 8 stations, some of which have to be mono, on this new multiplex. We may see somewhere in the region of 14, 15, 16 new radio stations, all sounding potentially slightly better than some of the stations that we have now. And I think that is a real game changer.
We asked you to tweet in your own questions. The panel haven't any idea what these are, and I don't know whether you can answer any of them, but we'll do our best. Here's one from Bev Marks. It's a bit of a technical one, this. If Classic FM ceases to transmit on FM, how will the RDS and traffic service be delivered to millions of vehicles?
I can possibly bore him with that. I think there are two things either. So there's this technology called RDS-TMC, which is a way of broadcasting traffic information to clever cars. Now, obviously, by that point, cars will be rather different. Now, either they will accept TPEG, which is the way of doing it over DAB, or I suspect that this is actually something that a mobile phone network is better suited for, sending a little piece of information about the roads that it knows you're going to be on and knowing where the issues are there. So RDS-TMC, I'm afraid, is probably going to go, assuming that the national FM stations come off.
Here's one I think Ford can answer from Ian Dealey. Do you think D2 should launch only with DAB Plus services?
Well, I, by the way, I thought James gave a really good answer to that. I do think that DB Plus is around the corner, and I do think that D2 gives it a way in. And obviously what that does, that provides you with greater capacity and potentially the ability to have, you know, stereo and higher bit rate as well. So I think that's a positive. I think the balance for commercial broadcasters is about how many sets are out in the market. And as James said, we are launching this digital radio switchover mark, the digital tick mark, in 2014, and we have set a minimum specification for that. That does include DAB+, and Pure and Roberts have agreed to comply with it, which is great news. But we need to start getting their sets in the market, you know, to try and build enough radios to receive those services. So I think what's initially going to happen with D2, because I think we'll see D2 in probably the next couple of years, is we'll see a mix of DAB+ and DAB, and I think over time, as more sets come into the market, it'll move to DAB+.
Here's Tim Gray asking the question, making the statement, really, I've got no DAB in my house in London. He's not alone, is he? What about those poor people in Stevenage? We've talked about this before, Ford, and you always give me the same answer, which is, oh, well, it's rolling out and it's getting better. It is not getting better. I know no one else has to drive underneath the railway bridge in Baldock in North Hertfordshire, but I do. And
Trevor,
Radio 5 Live disappears.
Have you considered moving?
Not just to listen to 5 Live, much as I like it.
Fact, it is getting better. We know the BBC have announced 162 transmitters, I think, in October. We heard another 200 transmitters announced this
morning. But what are they?
Morning.
Are they filling in the gaps where it doesn't work, or are they taking it out to bits of the countryside?
It's a combination of both. So there's a boost programme within cities, which the BBC is focusing on. And obviously the local DAB is about extending local coverage from the 72% today up towards the 90%, which is where FM equivalence is for commercial radio. So there is more work to be done, but we need to get to FM equivalence. If you can get FM, you should be able to hear DAB.
Yeah, and I should also say that actually FM isn't great either. Where I live in London, I can pick up half of the DAB multiplexes in my kitchen. I can pick up no FM whatsoever. And when I ended up spending a very entertaining birthday in Derriford Hospital in sunny Plymouth a while back.
This is more information than we need, Ford, isn't it? Really?
I couldn't pick up pirate FM at all on my little FM tranny. So we forget, I think, that actually FM coverage isn't perfect, nor will ever DAB coverage be. DAB has the real benefit of being a single frequency network, which essentially means that if you put two transmitters next to each other, they both add up, which is something that FM doesn't get.
So, William, if that gun had been held to your head and you'd have to turn all your stations into digital stations, what would have happened, do you think, to your audience and your business?
Well, that's one of those wonderful hypothetical questions that fortunately was never ever going to happen and I never had to address. And of course, part of the reason, just James, Plymouth, of course, is in Devon, not Cornwall, and Pirate FM serves Cornwall, so we wouldn't be necessarily too fussed if you couldn't hear us in Derriford Hospital in Plymouth. In terms of the nature of the nature of the actual DAB switchover itself, in terms of imposing on these radio stations, there are an awful lot of people who still can't hear a DAB signal. I live in Kingston. I can't hear. I have a DAB radio. Yes, I admit it. Unfortunately, I can't hear anything on it because the signal just isn't effective. This has fundamentally been the problem with this whole premature early DAB switchover argument. I'm delighted that there is a build-out of transmitters, 162 been announced by the BBC in October, and others to come. The difficulty about this whole debate, and which is why it's got so fractious, is because the painfully obvious structural problems that were underlying this early premature inappropriate decision to switch, we're all running ahead of the infrastructure you need in place for the signal to be adequately delivered in sufficient parts of the country to make it a justifiable decision to make. So the whole process here has put the cart before the horse, and the industry has gone out into the marketplace marketing product that it couldn't deliver into the marketplace because the transmission capacity wasn't there. So fundamentally, this has been a complete cart before horse scenario. Now there's been a pause. The minister has made absolutely the right decision. He's reflected very carefully on the argument that those of us have been making, that this is simply the wrong moment and the wrong time. He's reflected on that. He's decided that that is correct. He's not given either an in-principle decision or indeed a date, which we welcome. And now we've got to make sure that there is a proper and appropriate digital future. And let's not forget one announcement he also made, which for the very first time commits to having a look at the broadcasting issues confronting the near 100-odd local commercial radio stations who did not have a DAB opportunity ahead of them. Never before has that kind of announcement been made. And I would agree with Ford when he says the government really hasn't communicated, except I would go further than that. They actually haven't listened or taken any notice whatsoever of those of us in that sector right up until today. And that's why this announcement is so positive. And I really hope that we can all now get around a table and start playing a constructive role in what ought to be a sensible progression into a digital future, which, let's not also forget, doesn't just include DAB. You know, every single one of our radio stations has a mobile smartphone strategy. Every single one of them is online and through Radio Player. You know, our recent Eagle 3 launch in Surrey is not only on DAB, it's also online and also on smartphone. It's a multi-platform delivery. And that is something we shouldn't forget either.
OK, I have a sense that peace has broken out a little bit. And there was a picture that the industry was delighted to see recently, Ford, of you and William shaking hands.
It's very amazing what you can do with Photoshop, yeah. Though, Trevor.
I thought there was
William, it was a lovely... there we were in Epsom Downs in the morning sharing a bacon butty.
I thought there was a Nixon-Brezhnev vibe about it myself.
Possibly Nixon-Frost, perhaps.
Yeah. But are you... are you really on the same page? I mean, have we now got, call it a two-speed approach or whatever, but have we now got a way forward so that the industry can start looking outwards towards its customers and not arguing amongst itself?
I'll get to answer that. I just wanted to add to what William was talking about, the announcements today. We haven't really talked about the other announcements that went on from the supply chain, the car manufacturers. So we heard that QuickFit are coming into the market and will be offering a digital radio upgrade service when you have an MOT. I thought that was great news. We heard that Halfords are going to a fully digital radio offer as part of what they do. And I think critically, we heard from the company, not many people have heard, of course, Frontier. They make chips for radios, but their new chip set will not only be much cheaper, which will reduce the price, it will also provide the ability for radio manufacturers to offer an integrated station guide. So basically it's blind to what platform you're on. It will show FM stations with DAB stations. We've been working to get to this point for a long time. We now need to get radio manufacturers to actually deliver it in the finished article. And William, we would welcome your support and the support of others to get to that point. But I thought that was encouraging. Okay. Now, in terms of response to your question, you can edit out what I just said last time, is in terms of where we are, I think, and I've had this conversation with our friends at UTV, I think the position about end state is about ending dual transmission for the BBC and the big commercial radio groups. I think we're all very clear that we want to do that. We've had the government's support for that as being an end point. Everyone is very nervous about getting to that transition without taking listeners with us, because no one wants to lose listeners, whether it be in the home or in the car. in terms of what happens to small stations and frankly people on medium wave as well, I think, you know, that maybe we should have a strategy of self-determination. Maybe if stations who are below a certain threshold, they have the option to either stay on FM or to go to DAB if an appropriate solution is available. I don't think the big groups are trying to push people in a way they don't want to go. What the big groups are trying to do is actually be efficient and not be wasteful, and they think dual transmission ultimately has to end.
I want to move on to something else, and here's an extract from something that happened just towards the end of the conference. Simon Mayo, well-known broadcaster from Radio 2 and 5 Live, was brought on. I wasn't quite sure why he was there, but it's always nice to see Simon. At least he wasn't wearing a suit. Ford introduced this.
Hey, love here. Do you know what's better than driving home for Christmas? Driving home for Christmas while listening to the sweet, sweet sound of digital radio, my friends. That's right. You can get digital radio in your car, and there are many ways to get it, too. So get out there and share the love. To find out how to get digital radio in your car, ask your car dealer or car accessory retailer, or visit getdigitalradio.com.
If you love radio, go digital.
I'm going to take my life in my hands at this point. I'm going to ask Simon, because I think, Simon, you've got a digital radio in your car.
He's just told me, incidentally, that he hates D-Love.
Okay. He hates it. Well, that's a shame.
A little part of me dies every time. I understand. Maybe it's the wrong time of the day, and she's a discordant note, but I absolutely loathe...
It has been going so well.
I find it patronising, and I don't get why that character tells me about the range of services in digital radio. But anyway, okay.
Well, that's just moving on from that discordant note.
No, that's fine.
Though I suspect you're not the only person from the...
You can hear the applause there. That's Nick Higham with Ford and Simon Mayo. There was not a lot of love in the room, actually, for D-Love, I think.
Ford. Oh, sorry, is this a question for me?
It is a question for you, given that you're his dad.
No, well, not at all. I think, by the way, I think James was leading the applause, and we'll hear from James in a second there. It was an interesting moment. It was a bit spiky, wasn't it?
It had
all been going so well.
There must be a serious answer to why is a man dressed like a mixture of Barry White and Barry Gibb from the 1970s, the voice of digital radio, which is supposed to be cool and hip, modern and stuff. You'll say, oh, well, at least you'd notice him, will you?
Well, look, I think it's great that everyone in the industry has been supporting the campaign. People are aware of the campaign. It does break through. It is a bit Marmite. People, you know, there are people who don't like him and there are people who love him. And I think that's typical with any advert. I tell you, the worst thing, I've been a marketing guy before I did this for a long time, and the worst thing is to be ignored and for people to not notice what you do. People are clearly noticing. But I tell you what, Simon was probably, it might be a bit early for him in the day. He wasn't the most cheerful, but nevertheless, I think we should take his comments seriously.
Well, yes, James, you'd have him off, wouldn't you?
Look, I mean, I kind of. So there are two parts to this. One part is D-Love the right person, and is a midget Barry White supposed to be, a wonderful thing? Yes, no, I really don't know. I mean, what actually is more important is that spot that you've just heard says you can get digital radio in your car. That's all it says. It doesn't say why that might be interesting. It doesn't say what you get when you get it. It doesn't say anything interesting about the product whatsoever. It just says you can get it in your car now. And that's the fundamental part of this. And the fact that we have a failed attempt at virality being the man behind it is kind of nearly here nor there. But, you know, I've blogged a lot about where I think that we should be going, and where we should be going is talking about the amazing choice stations such as Eagle 3 and Eagle Extra, those types of stations, rather than yet more choice that you can, more sort of vague guesswork at choice and that kind
of
thing.
Well, in the parlance of politics, I think D-Love's future is being consulted upon, don't you think?
No, and absolutely should be, yeah. I mean, I think this was a phase we went through. I think we want to introduce the digital tick mark, and we need a campaign to do that. But I just want to share one quandary with you, all of you, which is trying to get the radio industry to agree about something, including the BBC, Global Radio, UTV, Bauer, and all of the local stations and the digital only stations, is really, really difficult. And so it has been an achievement that everyone has signed up to support digital radio. But one thing you may not have thought about is that, to their credit, they give the airtime for free. Now, in that airtime, do they want to hear about the plethora of great choice of stations that are available on the dial for you now? No. What people want to do is they want to hold on to their the current listeners, and they want to explain that if you're listening to this station, you know, and you love this station, you can be listening to it in the car. So we don't really have the ability to land that choice story as we probably would like, which is probably why we're not delivering exactly what you said.
One last thing from Ford. You looked after television switchover. That was a piece of cake, wasn't it?
Walk in the park.
William Rogers, thank you very much for joining us. It's been great to have you on the Radio Today programme. Thank you as well, Ford Analyst.
Thank you,
James Cridland.
Thank you.
This has been a TDC production. We've been at SNK Studios and we thank them for their hospitality. Join us for something very similar after Christmas. Bye-bye.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.